Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Meal Deals Podcast. I'm your host, Rafael Perez, and I'm with
Victoria Pham
and
Eric Wing.
And today we're going to talk about the importance of soft skills.
Soft skills are definitely important because we, as humans, need to communicate. That's the worst explanation I could give of why it's so important for soft skills.
I like how you just started off like, you know, this is important because da-da-da-da. You know?
Yeah. That's how your English teacher recommends you to write. This is because blank. This is important because blank, X, Y,
so,
Z.
Just like you explained to me before we started a podcast, what is a soft skill for people that don't know?
Soft skills in its most basic sense is where you're able to communicate your ideas with other people. You're able to collaborate. You're able to work in a team. Because soft skills is something that's opposite of what you consider hard skills. Something like where you are good at maybe math or maybe programming or maybe a skill that you might need for a job. But soft skills are something that... Can you guys help me out here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you were trying to say this. Something that doesn't really like apply... Not like something that doesn't really be referred for a job. You know, something that just like everyone... not must know, but everyone like need to work on in order to communicate with each other.
And also I think that like soft skills definitely is an experienced based kind of lesson, or they're skills that you need to go through in order to really learn them, as opposed to just like, you can't write a book about communication and like learn or like working in a team into a textbook. It's not the same as like learning math and science, where it's very concrete. I think that with soft skills, it's a lot more fluid, and like there's a lot of like mixing and matching, and your way of interpreting things and trying to show other people your side of things or the way that you view the world is very specific to you or individual to you. So that's why soft skills are important, because hard skills, they can apply to anybody and everybody, because they're very, it's almost like it's like the foundation. But soft skills and the way that you communicate your ideas and the things that you're working on to the world, that's individual to you. I think that's what you were trying to get at.
Well, couldn't have said it any better, Victoria. I mean, you really defined it well. I think there's soft skills and hard skills. They both have different learning curves. Mm-hmm. Not saying soft skills are easier than hard skills or hard skills are easier than soft skills. It's just that it's a different beast to handle. With soft skills, you kind of have to force yourself to practice communicating with other people. And the thing I feel like, for my perspective, when I think about soft skills or improving soft skills, I get worried about what I look like to other people, what I sound like to other people. So that's why a lot of people are scared about practicing soft skills. Where hard skills, you kind of learn on your own. You don't. Other people are not gonna see the failures you have with hard skills per se. Like you failing, working on a certain craft or a certain skill you need. Mm-hmm. But with soft skills, something like communication and public speaking, everyone's going to start from somewhere. Everyone's going to be bad at one point.
Yeah.
Because when a lot of people think of public speaking, they think of people who are really good at speaking in front of crowds, and people who are really good or explaining things in there. They're like Oprah. They're like Oprah Winfrey's there. They can speak without any fear. But you have to realize that those people, those Oprah Winfrey's, those public speakers, those Tony Robbins, they started from somewhere where they never had like that great of a soft skill to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So we could talk about some of our experiences with soft skills, and we're definitely not perfect, but I think, for example, communicating in on this podcast platform is a great example of us improving our soft skills, because we're trying to communicate our ideas and we're practicing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember freshman year of high school, my science and English class teacher assigned us an assignment to memorize the lines of a Shakespeare play, I believe Romeo and Juliet. And I remember that I memorized the first half of the assignment line for line. But after that, I didn't know what to say. And because of that, I got so nervous. I remember some people might not notice or some people did notice. I think you were in my class, Victoria, but yeah. when I was reciting those lines, in the second half of those lines, I didn't memorize it, and so I got so nervous that I didn't break down, but I can remember I was stuttering, and mm-hmm. I can remember my leg shaking, mm-hmm. Like nervously, and you can't stop the leg shaking.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's just like you're nervous. And that, and saying that now and seeing the past me to now, I'm still going to say I still get nervous when I speak publicly or when I speak to a person or communicate, and you get nervous. I still get nervous. But the fact is, what I'm trying to get to is that in soft skills, when you're practicing it, you're going to fail. But you're supposed to embrace the process.
Yeah. I think one of the issues that I have with soft skills or just like public speaking, for example, it's like, whenever the whole idea of, for example, like any TED Talk or any just like a general public speaking event, you want to engage with your audience, right? And you want to have this connection with them and the topic that you're talking about. My issue is like whenever I'm up there and I am really passionate about whatever I'm talking about, I sort of just black out. And I think that I, like, just roll with everything really, really quickly. And that's an ultimate weakness with my soft skills, is that, like, when I'm presenting something, I genuinely want to connect with the audience and make sure that the audience, like, sees eye to eye with me and what I'm presenting them. But I kind of lose track of myself. And I think that that's why it's so important that not only are you well-spoken on a stage or on any kind of platform and that your idea comes through well, but also that you and your audience are having this conversation and it's not just you presenting something. And I think that goes the same for, like, I'm drawing other skills in, like, that goes for writing, that goes for, like, theater, that goes for anything. And I think, like, science, too. I think that if you're unable to present your data in a certain way, or you're unable to tell people why it's important that you're doing such, like, research, then what the research, it's not that it's futile, but communication is definitely a secondhand player with your hard skills.
Right. Soft skills is a big compliment to your hard skills, and to me, soft skills is like an essential skill in just life. It can't be, soft skills are not only important maybe in the workplace, but just in life, where you need to communicate to your family, your friends, about an important issue.
Yeah.
I think that's super important, because if you can't get your idea or your perspective across to another person, how can any person understand your perspective?
Right.
And I think that's where soft skills are super important.
I have a question for you guys. What was do you guys ever had a breakthrough when you guys have to, like, basically have to go far to extent that you've never been for or been before when it comes to soft skills?
I think every time you practice your soft skills or any event where you're being asked to present a project or present a speech or present yourself, pitch a business project, I think that every time you do that, you're already pushing yourself out of your comfort zone.
But is there anything that is memorable?
So
then even like you were like, oh, I never, you know, something that you never thought about that would be a big breakthrough.
I would remember that in senior year of high school, we had our senior exit project where we had to present a subject that we were researching throughout the whole year. I remember that. Or maybe being in an interview with a person that you might not know, maybe some professional person or some older adult, because we're still young. I personally feel that, like, there's a little bit of pressure from the interview, maybe a work interview, maybe trying to explain something to a teacher about project idea or presenting a project to a class. That's when most of the times I feel that I get I get a little nervous when presenting my soft skills. Like, for example, in the first hackathon we went to, Raphael, I would say, even though I didn't speak for most of the business pitch, I was still nervous when presenting my part of the project. Even though on the outside, some people may think like I look confident, but on the inside, I'm like nervous as hell. Like, mm-hmm. I remember on Drexel's campus, the school I go to, we have a public speaking club. And at the public speaking club, we had to, at the end of the semester, we would present a project, a prepared speech. And even though my speech was prepared and I knew the lines, when I came up there, I forgot the lines because I was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's those are times where, even though you might seem that beforehand when you present, you were like, oh, I got this in the bag. Like, I know all my lines. I practice in front of a mirror like 500 times. Like, I practice in front of my friends. Those help. But there are going to be times where you feel so nervous that, oh, I forgot like some of my lines, or like, I don't know what to say now. But I think that's what I'm trying to get back to. You just want to embrace the process.
Yeah.
What about you, Victoria?
I think that I actually had a struggle with soft skills for a long time. Not in terms of speaking in public or speaking to an audience, because I do believe that's one of the only confidence points that I have, is that I think that I'm pretty well spoken. But when it comes to language barriers, like, for example, I grew up from ages like 1 to 5, I spoke absolutely no English whatsoever, right? And I only spoke Vietnamese. I've talked about it on this podcast before. But it took me a long time to really get rid of that Vietnamese dialect and become really close to the English language, right? And that not only... soft skills don't only pertain to just public speaking, but also, like you said earlier, working in a team, finding a way to communicate your ideas with one another in order... like, the ultimate goal is that with the understanding of each other's ideas, you both become better people, you both can stack on those ideas and, you know, basically evolve, right? So learning, for example, learning Vietnamese again and becoming more in touch with my culture, it's a big, like, team effort with me and everyone that I try to speak to in Vietnamese. And I try to make sure that, you know, I don't put too much pressure on myself, because otherwise I'm going to believe that the soft skills are not worth reaching for, you know? But at the same time, if I'm not constantly working on being able to communicate with other people, then I'll never be able to have that certain connection with other people. You know what I mean? So that's why there's a big difference between hard skills and soft skills. And it's that you can have all the hard skills that you want. You can be like, you can be amazing in science, you can be amazing in math, be amazing in everything else. But I think that me and Eric have talked about this before, not on the podcast, but in our own separate conversations, that if you have all those hard skills and you can't communicate it to the world, or you can't make sure that people across different countries, for example, or with other people that you're networking with, if you can't communicate that with other people, then it's almost not worthless, but I'd say that it hinders you from a lot. And for me, in terms of language, I try my best to have a better understanding of my culture, and in order to share my ideas and my experiences being a first generation American with my family, for example, with Vietnamese people who have never experienced that before. Because that's a big thing in like Asian American culture. It's like when you're in an Asian country, or like people from an Asian country, they'll see like an Asian American and they're like, oh yeah, you're an American. You probably just know English, right? And I want to break that barrier, because you can know your culture and be an American at the same time. And I know that this is like a completely different ballpark, but in my head it somehow relates. So hopefully it made sense.
So when Victoria was speaking about basically trying to understand their culture, I have a similar instances about that, which is basically so the thing is about say a soft skill is that it was actually one, like, I guess you could say it's the biggest part of me that still needs, we're like working on, and it still have that, like, it leaves a mark on me, and not like in a bad way, it's just more of like just like a structure way. By that I mean, like, when I first came here to Philly when I was 8, it was actually one of the only things I just never knew about, which is soft skills, you know, how to communicate with other people and things like that. Because the thing is that I got used to the culture in Puerto Rico, that the culture in Philly is, like, of course, like, way different. So mm-hmm. I don't know how people act. I don't know how I was supposed to act, how was I supposed to speak, and things like that. So in order for me to relate to other people, and that definitely took me for, like, so many years for me to hit that, like, barrier of, like, finally, like, you know, let the person I'm speaking to understand me, or at least, like, understand the ideas that I'm trying to evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, for instance, like, I think you're, like, you knew how I don't know how much you think I improved, but, like, I knew Eric, like, in freshman year, and even I think Eric knew that I was very insecure of, like, how I speak, how I even communicate with my ideas with other people. And I think as, like, the reason why I also, like, fell in love with, like, the fact that, like, I went to Kappa is because Kappa definitely, like, made me, like, more confident about not only just about myself, but about how I speak and how I share my ideas. So back about the culture, me and my brother basically have a small argument of how I should train my soft skills. Basically, like, because the thing is that with, he still had that mindset of, like, he still had the mindset of the Puerto Rican culture. And basically since, like in Victoria, like, sense, it's just, like, I'm basically Americanized. So with the mindset I have in Philly, or at least, like, the how I communicate with other people, it's different on how my brother communicate with other people. And mm-hmm. basically, since I can't really relate to that, I barely speak, you know, or I barely relate with my family when it comes to those terms. So basically, they think, like, you know, I don't have the ability to even speak to other people or even, like, solve problems by myself, you know, while it's, like, actually kind of the complete opposite, which I apparently can't really really show that to my family. Mm-hmm. But I definitely show, like, outside of basically, like, when I'm not around my family, which is basically with my friends or basically by myself,
mm-hmm.
too. And it's kind of, like, a little bit of a struggle to even, like, show my family that, like, hey, I can do these certain things. But the fact that I can't really relate to their mindset that they have, it's kind of, like, it kind of blocks the way of, like, of my way of trying to share my my ability.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, like, people, in terms of soft skills, it can be applied to just the workspace or your job. But I think that it goes into so many different places, and you have to understand yourself and see how you work with other people. And if you guys have drastically different ideas, then you have to bridge the gap almost. And that's the reason why so many other people lack soft skills, or maybe it's you that is lacking the soft skill. And there's this inability to bridge the gap in between your ideas or your personal beliefs. And that's why we have so many different problems in the world, just in general. It's like there's such a weird inability for us. And maybe we can just talk it or downsize it to everyone's stubborn. Everyone has their own morals and personal beliefs that they can't get away from. But at the same time, with soft skills, you can find this unity with each other. You can find a standard set of ideas that applies to us all. I think that we went far away from how it would be applied in the workplace, though, because we're all coming from very different objectives in terms of soft skills in this podcast.
Right.
I see both point of views. I struggle with a similar situation in terms of culture. Being raised as a Vietnamese American, I am still constantly immersed in Vietnamese culture because I go to Vietnamese temple. I interact with the Vietnamese community here in Philadelphia a lot, so that I could understand. Because to me, when I talk to Vietnamese Americans, like some Vietnamese Americans, no hate on them, they don't know a lot about Vietnamese culture. They didn't know like the very basic generic stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's like a plenty of other Vietnamese Americans that know a lot. And I feel like I'm kind of torn between where I know a lot, but I can't communicate as well as some people from Vietnam might be. So it's kind of weird where, not to hate on you, Victoria, but I remember in high school, like back at Kappa, like freshman, sophomore year, and then you were with, or like, I think it was you or like Shinran or like some other Asian American student, and they were saying like, Eric, you're like the least Vietnamese student, like why you're not that Vietnamese? And I was like, in my head, I was like, you don't know me, like, uh-huh. I'm like hella immersed in Vietnamese culture just because like I'm acting American and I don't speak about Vietnamese culture.
But who said that? I did.
Like long time ago, I think you mentioned it and talking about like who's the least Vietnamese student here.
I don't think that I said that.
No, I don't know. I remember an experience where something like that, and I was like, I know.
Oh yeah, I apologize then, yeah, on this podcast.
That's past Eric.
Here's the funny thing: me and Eric have talked so many times because we're both Vietnamese Americans, and the funny thing was like, I was a super Americanized person before me and Eric became really close friends. Like, I wanted to get rid of my culture. I wanted to just be, like, flat out American. And I didn't want to, you know, regard that side of me. But then me and Eric became really close friends. And there was this one conversation that we had. And it was like, there's so much about our history as Vietnamese people, like, and our families, and Vietnamese Americans, there are a lot of young Vietnamese Americans that don't understand that, and being unable to communicate that to like, how do you summarize a whole history or a whole culture, you know, and then share that to people who don't understand it? That's what I'm trying to say. And it's like, it took a long time for me to understand my roots and my culture and finally embrace it. But it took Eric and it took a lot of people to remind me and to communicate with me that, hey, your heritage and where you come from is important. And I think that if Eric didn't have the soft skills to show me that, then I don't think that I would have ever embraced that side of me. And I'm not trying to give, you know.
My ego is so like stroked yeah, right now.
I'm not trying to stroke his ego, but like that's what I'm saying.
You're stroking his ego.
And yeah. Ego
so hard right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically it.
You're not that situation was not the only situation I encountered where somebody told me, I can't remember exactly for sure. Like, I could be mistaken. It could not be you.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
If someone said that I'm the least Vietnamese, like, I don't know anything about Vietnamese culture. I encountered Vietnamese elderly who I know my whole life, and they tell me, like, Eric, like, you went to Vietnamese temple, you went to Vietnamese school, like, learned the Vietnamese culture. Like, you speak, your Vietnamese parents speak Vietnamese to you only. How come you haven't picked up Vietnamese fluently as compared to like other children we know? Like, why? Like, why can't you read basic Vietnamese, or why can't you write basic Vietnamese, or why can't you speak it well enough where it's like a pretty pretty authentic accent? And they're telling me like, you're so like Americanized. I'm like, well, if you put it that way, that might seem like I don't know anything about Vietnamese culture. But on the contrary, I've been immersed in Vietnamese culture my whole life, and I've been putting the effort into it. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's about communication is not rather the result of that communication of being like, oh, you could communicate super well. Like, look at that guy. Like, he could speak for hours on hours and know how to like be articulate. It's a part. Soft skills can be a part of that, of looking good, but it's about the effort you're putting in.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you can't speak well. It's what matters is the effort you're putting in to try to speak those ideas.
I think that's, you're right. That's where soft skills come in, because like I said before, you could have all the hard skills that you want, but unfortunately, soft skills are kind of the things, they're the skills that cement all your hard work with hard skills. Right. So if your capacity to communicate your work, or for example, in our conversation, you know, our relationship with our culture, and we're trying to prove ourselves, we're constantly trying to prove ourselves. And obviously our lack of soft skills in that particular field is lacking. Right. And we kind of lose the ability to really convince people that, you know, we did earn our place as a Vietnamese American. And this is only going for culture, by the way. There are so many other platforms where, you know, there are people constantly trying to prove themselves in the workplace, in society, just trying to earn their right to share their voice. But at the same time, there's also that kind of idea that, like, if you have nothing to say, maybe you don't say it at all, right? If you have, yeah, if you, like, truly have, like, that was a really weird thing to say. I mean, you know what I meant, right? If now my soft skills are falling apart.
It's about the effort. It's about the effort.
No, I'm trying to say that soft skills validate your hard skills. That's what I'm trying to say. Because there will always be people that challenge you and challenge your ability an understanding of what you genuinely know, and your inability to communicate that will show that possibly you don't have a deep understanding.
Yeah. I just thought of this visual analogy. It could be bad. It could be good. If you guys can understand it, say if you had a window, right? In the window, you have a view of a beautiful scenery, and whatever scenery you might imagine that, and imagine that scenery is your hard skills. Mm. But imagine now there's curtains, mm-hmm. or there's curtains over that window, mm-hmm. and your soft skills is the ability to take off those curtains, so you can communicate those hard skills, your talent, your skills to other people.
Damn,
right?
That's deep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys can understand.
No, I understand, but yeah. Just like Emmanuel's face, like, yeah. that's deep, yeah, you know?
Like, a couple of minutes ago when Victoria mentioned that when she and I would talk about having soft skills as an essential skill, is I remember I will always say that you could be the smartest person in the world, like a genius, but if you don't have any soft skills and you can't communicate those ideas, then how would anyone know? Or how would anyone acknowledge those skills?
Or even even know what you're trying to articulate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So related to this, I'm taking a sociology course, and the two main agents of the process of socialization is family and education. And by education, it's not just like what you learn in school. It's also this is basically the sociology in school, basically who you're surrounded with, you know, which is basically what basically happened to all of us, you know. We basically
You're killing me with the basically.
Huh?
You're killing me with basically. The same basically.
Basically. Okay, sorry. Yeah, well, so basically, no. But, so yeah, so with those two main agents, right,
mm-hmm.
So we all grew up basically being, oh, yeah, I got done that yet. Growing in American schools, you know, and we spend more time in the American school, so therefore we have to basically just the
don't kill yourself.
Don't kill yourself over it.
But what I'm trying to say is just like, you know, we basically grew up here, you know, we basically just the that's just like, God damn it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
It's fine.
No, ever since you mentioned about basically, now I'm just like, oh, damn.
Well, just speak slowly. That's a soft skill too.
Right, but like, see, I still need to learn about my soft skills. But
I,
like,
I mean, we're all learning. I think this podcast is a product of our soft skills.
Yeah.
From the first episode to now.
Okay, so let me go back. So we all grew up in the mindset or like around, being in school and things like that. And we spend more time in school and hanging out with friends and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like also like, I don't know how much time you spend with your family, but like, do you guys feel like, you spend enough time with your family to even like try to actually understand, or even like before to this year of understand the culture?
Yeah.
So but it did take you long enough, right?
Oh yeah, because I mean, come on. Every single like first gen American, they grow up like thinking like they're like a complete American. And it's until you reach, well, for me personally, I reached a breaking point where I was just like, why? Like, obviously, being Vietnamese is in my blood, right? There's nothing that I can do to change that. I'm not going to be any other race or any other ethnicity. So being around my family, it was like, for a while, I was just like, God. I had conjoined being Vietnamese to being traditional. And as an American, I was just like, and as an American, I'm kidding. And like growing up, I was always against the idea of following a traditional route. So I resented that. I resented my culture because it meant that I had to follow a certain guideline, right? And it was so hard for me to articulate that to my family. Like, I'm American. I'm in the land of opportunity. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to be whatever you want me to be, right? And that's like the case for many Asian Americans, Asian American teenagers or children. And their inability to communicate with me led to my inability to communicate with them, mm-hmm. right? So both of our lack of soft skills ultimately caused a lot of resentment and a lot of, not anger, but a lot of frustration.
Oh, yeah.
Because, there's this constant disconnect about what we truly want, and especially with something as important as, my future, my job. It was really hard for me to tell my family, like, this, I don't want to follow the road that you're personally guiding me towards, right? And it was hard to communicate that because... But I had to do it, regardless if they didn't understand it. Right. And that's another thing about soft skills. It's not always about soft skills and hard skills.
We're tripping over here.
Yeah. It's not just about talking. It's also about doing, because your communication is also spoken through action, and it's not just through words. So
that was deep.
Yes. Thank you. But yeah, that's what, now I got tripped up about it.
Sorry.
In terms of culture, in terms of family, there will always be a disconnect, right? Because we came from different, my parents, they're like Gen Y? They're not millennials. What's Gen X?
They're boomers.
Boomers are like 1940s to 1960s. My parents were born in the 1970s. I think they were Gen Y. Right.
I didn't even know there was a Gen Y.
Yeah.
Me either.
But I understand what you're saying. The generation before.
Yeah. There's right. a generational gap. There's a communication gap.
You know the generation, Emmanuel?
Oh, okay. So it's Gen X. Gen X. Yeah. My family is Gen X. Yeah. Babies of the Vietnam War. They saw things in a very different light. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge philosophical discussion just by talking about soft skills. But
no, I mean, I'm enjoying, so you go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just in general. Like, I think that we could have easily just said, like, soft skills, you need them to, work well in a team.
Work well in a team with other people. I mean, that's how we started this podcast.
Yeah.
But I like where this is going.
It goes because soft skills are so much deeper than that.
Yeah.
And I think that people really shit on like, oh yeah, like you don't, like whatever, you know, you don't need to work in a team. I can work alone. And it's like, no, the whole entire point is that there's a community. There are many communities that you can join and that you can genuinely relate to if you have the communication skills and the motivation to do so.
And that's been discussed too. Like not like, you know, physically discussed, but like that's what, like those type of examples you just said is basically like it goes along with like shows and movies that's trying to communicate with that, or like even trying to implement that message of like, listen, you're like, you know, it's okay if like you want to work alone, but like in some point in time you're gonna have to work with other people, you know. You don't have to communicate with other people. Another example that I would like to give is last year during the summer, the beginning of summer, literally 2 days after we graduated, I decided to travel to Puerto Rico. And it actually, like, it took me some time to try to, like, have that same type of soft skill as they have. So for me to even try to like spread my idea and whatever, they can't really relate to that because of like how much how long I grew up here in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And I got like basically like having that small Philly blood that like basically affected my whole how I communicate, how I even function, you know. I'm like of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But then like I went to Puerto Rico and they just sometimes get confused, like what are you trying to do, you know, what's your thing, you know. And then like sometimes even like it happens over here, but like even Puerto Rico they'd be like, I get what you're saying, but you know, those type of things.
Could you give us an example?
Huh?
Could you give us an example?
So basically I don't have like a very specific example, but like sometimes the conversation goes like this. So basically, they sometimes like talk about whatever, like politics and things like that, right? And then they're not really too much into politics to the point that like, you know, as divided as in America, you know, like there's no really, they're more of a gradient, you know, you're not like left or right, whatever. But like, I sometimes like explain to them like what's been going on in America and things like that. And they sometimes get confused, like what do you mean, you know, or like it also comes to language too. So sometimes like I don't know how to translate like those words or like one of the like complex words into Spanish, so I have no choice but just try to say the word in English, you know. And then they just be like, I don't know what you're trying to say, you know. Like, oof, like, you know what, no, never mind, you know. But in the end of the day, sometimes like they get what I was trying to like give, like what information or ideas I was trying to give to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's the same thing that goes for me too. Like me and my mother, we speak like half Vietnamese and half English in the house. So like I'll start off speaking a sentence in Vietnamese, right? Like I'll try really, really hard to piece it together. And it takes a lot of mental strength to put the words together. I'm just like, okay, this is exactly what I'm going to say to my mom. And it takes me like 10 minutes to put it together. I'm like, okay. And then,
all the time.
Yeah.
Especially, and you're surrounded with, they don't even know English.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, especially in Puerto Rico, like, my family doesn't even, like, know English. And I just, like, tell them in English. I'll be like, what gibberish are you speaking? Speak Spanish. Like, I'm like,
oh, yeah. And then, yeah, and, like, halfway through a sentence, I'd just be like, ah, fuck it, I'll speak in English. And then I'll start talking in English. There are so many, like, idioms or, you know, similes, metaphors in Vietnamese that my mom has always tried to tell me because they're, like, genuinely, you know, like, okay, for example, like, an idiom or an idea in English. It's, like, the American dream, right? How do you explain that to people who don't live in America or have never experienced that or don't understand it? Like, I could tell my mom, oh, yeah, like, the American dream. And she's going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean?
American dream.
And it's the same thing for Vietnamese. And it's, like, that gap in that loss in translation, it opens up so many problems. Like we're talking about a very personal situation, but this is like a global, national, like worldly thing.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, of course, humans in general, we have so many ideas. Every single person has different ideas about everything, and our abilities to can we just have like a number count of how many times we say communication and skills
and soft skills
basically like and our inability to communicate that those ideas or the various different ideas, like it puts us at a disadvantage, especially in like a melting pot like America, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you spoke about how you're taking a long time to construct that Vietnamese sentence to your parents, and your parents will ask you something even more complicated, and you're like, oh well, I'm just speaking English.
Yeah.
I relate to that so much, and I'm sure my parents relate to that so much. Like, I can speak Vietnamese in terms of laundry or house chores or very basic information, but whenever my family members would talk about, because I remember my dad, His side of the family is in Vietnam. So when he visited his family in Vietnam, his brothers and sisters will ask what I'm doing in college, what I'm majoring in, or what my ambitions are. And my dad can't really translate, and he doesn't know what I'm actually doing. Like, I told him that I'm focusing on something with computers. So he's like, oh, maybe something with computers. And when I explain to my dad what's the term for software engineer, I will always look up, whenever I don't know the term in Vietnamese, I will always look it up in Google.
Mm-hmm.
And not in Google Translate, but it's accurate, where like single word phrases, he will understand it, but he still doesn't know what the term software engineer
is.
Yeah,
exactly.
So he'll be like, oh, yeah. Software engineer? Oh, he heard engineer, like the Vietnamese term engineer. He was like, oh, okay, engineer, software engineer. So what do you guys do with software engineer? And then I'm here trying to explain about like the software in YouTube, or like the software, just like how his phone works, and he's just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What I'd rather do is just like give examples instead of just like saying what exactly is that.
Yeah.
I did give examples, but he'll be like, why is that related to YouTube?
I mean, first of all, just to start it off, it's the huge generation gap. Then stack on top of that, it's just like we don't know the language as well as we can. So then there's just like this weird language barrier. And then third, it's like a complex idea like fucking software engineering. It's just like, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, in English is very easy. It's just like, oh yeah, software engineering, it just has to do with computers. And it's like all the technicalities and like codes that would go into building such a thing.
Yeah, I'm lucky that one of my cousins is also a software engineer, and like at least like I tell like my aunt from Puerto Rico, I'd be like, oh, I want to do this too. At least he understands, because like my cousin, he also originally lives in Puerto Rico, and he gets like, you know, of course, like he knows all the languages, you know, I mean like every like complex stuff and like complex word in Spanish, so he gets to, you know, like, explain it to like his aunt and like, or like basically his mom, like, you know, what it is. So then once I tell them, like, oh, well, I know what you're, like, you know, what you're doing now, because like based on what my son is doing, you know, it's just like
exactly, and
it's just luck.
It is the other side. It is the other side of the coin too. Like my dad, to practice his English, he'll be like, oh, so when you talk like in Vietnamese, he'll be like, so when you talk to this guy, say, and then all this is English. It's very broken English. And I don't understand what he's saying. Like whenever I'm in the car with him and he was speaking English to practice, I, not in a bad way, but like I don't understand him at all. I'm just like, yo, just speak Vietnamese with me, because I can understand him in Vietnamese. And he and I were just laughing. We're like, he was like say English. He would say something in English. He'd be like, oh, good job, and all this. Like, I don't know. I can't pull up a specific example, but it would be like so broken and I can't understand it. I'm just like, just speaking Vietnamese. Like, I can understand it. It'll help me too. Like, I need to practice my Vietnamese in the first place.
Yeah.
And he'll speak Vietnamese with me, and I'll speak Vietnamese with him back.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're trying to get to is that in terms of culture, it's not just the idea of talking for soft skills. It's about doing, like Victoria said. It's about the effort and the idea of action of soft skills. But also, a universal principle we see in all of our cultures or in just soft skills in general is also understanding the person, human empathy, emotional intelligence, like understanding when a person is sad or when a person is happy. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine you don't have the skills to understand how a person looks like when he's happy or when he's sad. Like, imagine that when you're walking up to a person and he's like not in a good mood, he or she is not in a good mood, but you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think those skills are important to know when you're talking with your friends or talking with your family. It's important to know when, if they're in the right mood to talk.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that was another thing that I was going to talk about, is that, like, soft skills, it isn't just about, like, public speaking and about communication and talking. It's also just, like, how you interact with the world and the people around you. And it makes you a more, like, humble, more generous, more, you know, you would be a better person if you had, like, if you had soft skills, if you practiced soft skills every single day. And you're right. I was about to bring that up, and you stole that thought away from me.
We think
you're right.
We intellectuals think
we are
alike.
Intellectuals.
But, yeah, now that I think about it, I guess, like, soft skills is actually, like, more important than what we thought about before we started even.
And so we just don't notice it, right? We don't consciously be like, I see, like, oh, man, my friend's in a bad mood. Like, I know that because of my soft skill. Like, you don't consciously acknowledge that, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this teacher's bad. Soft skill.
Oh, my God.
Like, you don't consciously know it, but when you, like, right now, when we speak about this topic in the podcast, we realize that soft skills are more important than we think, and soft skills are everywhere. Like Victoria mentioned, soft skills doesn't mean, like, something you put on a resume and mm-hmm. your job interview is like, oh, so how have you practiced your soft skills? Like, when do you use your soft skills? Well, I use my soft skills when I presented my business project.
Yeah.
No, soft skills are everywhere.
I mean, unless
you're
trying to be a manager or things like that.
Soft skills,
probably, yeah.
Yeah. Soft skills are when you call for a doctor's appointment. Soft skills are when you go to the store and buy out items and you're communicating with the person at the register about how's your day
mm-hmm.
or how's it going.
Yeah.
When you write an email to someone or when you text an old friend.
Yeah.
Right? Like just now today I texted my basketball coach. He's like, oh, how are you and your family? How are your daughters? Like, I hope you're doing well. And that's just an example of soft skills, an example of empathy, understanding, like, it's a universal skill, and it's a skill that is unconsciously being developed, but
mm-hmm.
you can also consciously develop that through
yeah.
pushing
yes.
yourself out of your comfort zone, through pitching presentations,
no,
through,
you're right. yeah.
through just talking like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and there's so many people that don't act on their soft skills, and I think that they're really putting themselves at a disadvantage, because not only is it just so important to connect with others in the world and, like, be able to share ideas and share, you know, emotions and, like, genuinely connect with each other, and I'm not, and at that point I know that I'm just saying words, but soft skills is also just like a feeling, you know, and it's like
yeah.
when you're talking to someone you genuinely understand each other. And you can feel that you guys are at the exact level, and every single sentence that you guys are talking to each other, every idea that you guys are trying to explain, it just makes sense to the other person.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so important in relationships, in friendships, in just like everyday life, to enact on your soft skills, because it just makes the world a better place. I
yes,
genuinely believe that. And it's not just about the workplace. It's
yes, Victoria. Go off.
You guys are so
off, Victoria.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's my spiel. You guys are making me laugh, and I completely lost my spot.
We were dabbing behind, you know, behind the scenes. But, like, yeah. So, once you were telling examples, I was, like, about to give one example. Which, like, you know, like, when you're in your sad boy's hours, and then you're, like, 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., like, man, I need to tell Eric about this,
You sleep early, 9 p.m.
Huh?
You sleep early, 9 p.m.
9 p.m.? That's not early. I mean, I don't sleep. I don't sleep, but I was just giving an example.
No, hey, I was just poking at you.
Oh, okay. But yeah. But
hey, I sleep at like 8 p.m. Eric makes fun of me.
We know. Every time we text, I text Victoria for like to revise or edit my English papers or just in general about, hey, we should have like a phone meeting tonight. And Victoria's like, yeah, I'll be there around 8 p.m. Victoria,
I'm knocked out.
She's just like, she's
completely knocked out.
Like, literally, like, later, like, an hour after the phone call, she was like, yeah, what happened at the beginning? I don't remember. I was like, what do you mean?
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
Just
yeah.
There. You started the phone call.
Yeah, like, side conversation. Usually, when we're having phone meetings in order to just talk about, you know, like, the next podcast meeting or like any like podcast topics that we would like to talk about. I'm usually, like, fast asleep when they're calling. And it's, like, 8:30. And they'd be calling me, and I'd hear the phone ringing. And I'd just pick it up. I'd just be like, hello, blah, 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 blah. I don't even remember what I'm saying. That's what they're referring to. I'm just legit, like, half asleep. I'm probably still in, like, REM sleep. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And then, like, I wake up, and halfway through the conversation, I'm just like, yeah, I don't remember how I woke up, guys.
No, it's funny, because, like, in the very beginning, because, like, it happened to, like, that was the second time. The first time, it was, like, when I was calling you, it was just about, like, random stuff. But the second time, it was like, Victoria, can you remember this? And she was like, yeah. And then, like, again, like, an hour later, she was like, yeah, what did that say? I asked you, will you remember this?
But to go back to your example, what you said about 9 p.m.,
sad boy hours, soft. And then you're texting your friends like, man, I feel sad, you know, she, like.
Oh, yeah, that's an example of soft skills. Like, just being able to speak freely about your emotions to other people.
Yeah.
Be able to show that you're vulnerable and be able to say, like, hey, man, like, I'm feeling down about a certain thing. Like this thing reminds me of this. Like, I feel really bad or really sad about that. That's a part of soft skills. Soft skills is, to me, is, like, the epitome of you willing to be vulnerable and show your ideas or show what you think about a certain thing to other people.
Exactly.
And talking to other people about anything, it's, talking to people about like a sad thing or in a certain emotion is a perfect example of that, small or big. When people think of public speaking, they think of, like I mentioned, like Oprah Winfrey, Tony Robbins, like they talk in front of crowds of people. Mm-hmm. But no, soft skill can be an example of you just texting your friend or you just talking to your friend, like having lunch with him and like, hey, like this is what I think.
You know what it all comes down to? When you first meet that person too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like another example I would like to give is like when, you know, with the orientation day in CCP, I met a friend through there. It was, you know, it was just like how you say it? So in like during orientation we were supposed in groups based on our birthday month. And then I met this guy, and then like this guy, he was like, you know, he seemed chill and things like that. But then like I didn't see him again until, like, I think the first week of CCP. I saw him, like, just sitting down by himself, and I was, like, you know, like, I was a little bit nervous, but, like, you know, how else are you going to, like, know him, you know? Because he's not in none of my class, but, like, you know, the only way you're going to have to, like, do is you approach him, like, greet yourself and things like that, and we're still friends to this day. It all comes down to the basically trying to push yourself to even, like, communicate with that person you want to talk to.
And I think that it goes, even going back to what Eric was saying, like putting yourself in a state of vulnerability, right? Like pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. It goes hand in hand with soft skills, because there are so many people that believe like, oh yeah, I have to like just be strong and act strong and like not, I don't need to like tell anybody about my problems, right? And it's like, no, you need to speak about them. It's the only way that you can understand more about yourself and more about how to go about the situation, because otherwise you're just going to be stuck in the same exact place if you're not acting on your soft skills and like trying to understand your own, because like we're complex people, obviously human emotions are complex within themselves, and you being able to speak about them to ask other people what they think, and then for them to give you their interpretation, it really helps you understand more about yourself. It's and yes, we can speak about soft skills very on the surface, but I think that like what we're trying to get to is like soft skills can be a very philosophical endeavor too.
Yeah.
And you know, being vulnerable is so important, and having emotional intelligence is so important, because that's the only way that you can strengthen any friendship, any relationship. And like, as same thing with Raph, like pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to meet other people, that's another soft skill as well. Just having the courage to want to know other people and wanting to know other people's ideas. And that's a sense of being open-minded. There's just so many things, you know, like soft skills isn't just one single idea, and it's not as concrete as as hard skills are, because hard skills are like very, you know, straightforward.
Yeah.
Like these are the things that you could do, and like you can learn them through a textbook, but soft skills, man, you just learn them through life.
I completely agree.
How many percent?
110%.
Ooh.
Because, like, I was thinking in my own head when you said about hard skills, where you could learn that. You could learn that hard skill through a textbook. You could learn that hard skill through a class, a course.
Mm-hmm.
But soft skills is something you learn through life. You learn through talking to a friend. You learn through talking about homework to a classmate. You learn
through breaking up with someone.
Learn through communicating with your
and
parents.
And that's how you
about
grow.
Culture.
Mm-hmm.
Culture. You learn soft skills through being at a college party and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, picking up a girl. I don't know. Anything can happen.
Emmanuel,
you know?
Makes a stank face about it.
Emmanuel's silently judging me. But I see that. Like, soft skills is something that's so, what's the term where it's like in every point of, or like it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean, yeah. I would.
Okay. Soft skills is everywhere.
Universal. It's yeah. It's basically
soft skills is everywhere in your life. It's sprinkled.
The atmosphere. I don't know. Atmospheric.
Atmospheric.
I don't think that's a word.
I just created one.
No, atmospheric is a real word.
We're not getting into this again. Yeah. We're not getting into it again.
Spell it for me.
Soft skills is sprinkled into every little like interaction you have with anyone,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And I think we talked enough about how important soft skills are, but I would say an important thing I want to mention is that, well, I know if a viewer is listening to this, is like, oh, well, I know how important soft skills are, but I still get nervous about soft skills. Like, I still get nervous about talking to people. Like, what should I do about it?
Well, the real question is, like, who isn't?
Yeah, who isn't? We're all always nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to this audiobook. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's a really popular book about how to form habits. And related to one of the chapters I was listening to, they said that when you do some sort of action or perform something in front of someone and you might feel super nervous, or any situation where you feel super nervous or excited about the result that's might to happen. And most of the time we still do naturally. When we think of nervousness, we think of like, oh, it's a bad thing. Like, I'm really nervous. Like, I frame it in a bad way. But what the author is trying to get to, well, you know, what people stereotypically think, like with motivational tips or like success tips, it's like, oh, if you feel nervous and scared, then act like you're not scared and nervous. Instead, acknowledge that you're nervous and scared. Acknowledge like, hey, I'm nervous because this is going to happen, but it's exciting. Like, frame it in that type of perspective. Like, I'm nervous because I'm nervous because I have to present a speech in front of my class. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm super nervous. Try to frame it where like, I'm nervous because I get to have the opportunity to present a speech to my class. Mm-hmm. Like, frame it in a more positive perspective and frame it like, well, this is exciting. I get to have this opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that for me, when I think of soft skills or when presenting something or talking to someone or anything, being vulnerable or communicating something, I get nervous about it. But I try to think of it now, after listening to that chapter, I try to think of it's like, well, now I have the opportunity to communicate something.
Yeah, I love that too, to be honest. Like, I just think that another thing is about me and I hate saying that, but I just think that when you live your life and try to reframe it in a way that, you know, you're grateful, you're showing gratitude that you're able to even experience anything and experience any of these things, where it puts you in a weird state, in a nervous state, and you can turn it around and make it something positive. I think that that's so important, because most of the time people view nervousness and anxiety as this like really terrible, painful thing. But it doesn't have to be that way. Like, you really can turn that around, that feeling. And it only makes you a better person once you face that fear.
Yeah.
And like, I was talking to a really good friend of mine yesterday, and we were just talking about how there are a lot of things in this life where, you know, it just feels like we have to do it because of the obligation, right? Not because we genuinely want to enjoy them. And it's like, in terms of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone or using your soft skills, I think it's really important to know that the first time isn't going to be the best shot that you shoot, right? It takes dedication. It takes time. I mean, people like spend their whole lives probably not developing their soft skills, but it does take work. And just know that you try your best, and that's the best that you can do. So that goes for anybody that's struggling with, you know, social anxiety, with anyone who like, has trouble, navigating crowds. I think that it's really important to know that you give an effort, and ultimately that effort will come back to you and in a really good way, even in ways that you don't even realize in terms of soft skills.
Mm-hmm. I think
I agree 100%.
I also agree 100%. We've in the past episodes we kind of sprinkled about hard work, and when we look at people who are really successful, we don't really see the amount of walls they came across, or about the humps they got over, or the amount of effort they put in to get where they are. And soft skills is a great example of that. I don't what Victoria, what you were just talking about, it reminded me of like, when we think of successful celebrities, we don't see them like struggling to maybe like pay their rent when they started, or struggling to practice their craft as good as their craft wasn't as good as they have now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, I think what we said this past episode, when we started, it was like, oh, soft skills in workplace, but now soft skills is more deeper than we've thought, now that we talk more about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love that. I think that it's in itself, this episode about soft skills enacted our soft skills, because we just became more understanding of the subject, you know, and like, to be able to share this podcast with you, to be able to share our ideas with you, it's so important to us. I mean, I know that last week, oh yeah, anyone who's listening to the podcast who is Asian and does celebrate Lunar New Year. Happy Lunar New Year.
Happy Lunar New Year's. Hope you had lots of red envelope money.
Mm-hmm.
Had great hanging out with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Ate great mooncakes.
Yeah, and if you're religious, then like, I hope that you spent time at the temple.
Temple,
you know?
Church.
Wherever. Anywhere. Yeah, you know? Wherever. From us, you know, we really wish you a happy New Year.
Even though I'm not being...
still happy New Year to Rafael.
I still hope
you guys had fun.
Yeah.
Stuff. Is now, by the time we release this or before it's released, we're about to head into the is today the 1st of February?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, snap.
Today's
okay.
The 1st of February, yes.
Yeah, second month of 2020.
Yeah, we started on a rough start, but you know.
Yeah.
I know things are wild, but I know that we could keep persevering, and
there's always a tomorrow. Even though it's not promised, it's still, you know.
Yeah.
The sun will come out.
I don't know that song, but try your best.
Raph is such a meme sometimes. Right. But anyway, what we're trying to say is that we have so much gratitude for this podcast and being able to do this with you guys. And it is with you guys. It's not just for you guys. And it's not, we genuinely want to start conversations, not just in our circle, but with you, our listeners.
Yes.
We currently don't have a video podcast for this episode.
Yeah.
But we're just glad to know that you're listening to us.
And you're also not crazy if you think, you know, like if you missed a podcast episode last week because we didn't make a podcast episode because we were busy. And basically, again, like you guys were busy with Lunar New Year's and, you know, you guys had to spend time with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but, you know, there will always be a future podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess this is the conclusion for today?
Thank you guys for listening to this podcast episode.
That was the conclusion.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead.
We have lots of big plans in store. Yeah, we'll just continue with the podcast, keep the ball rolling.
Yeah. So, if you guys wanna DM us at Official Meal Deals. If you guys wanna tweet at us, Official Meal Deals. If you guys wanna email us,
officialmealdeals@gmail.com.
What else? You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
As well as YouTube.
And YouTube, but not for this episode. But, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I hope you guys have a great weekend, great week.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
and a great second month.
Yeah.
For the year.
All right.
See you guys.
See ya.